This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War.
I want to welcome each and every one of you to the Invisible War radio program with our host and teacher, Dr. Rob Randall. Dr. Randall, so good to see you in the studio again today.
And you, Tim. What a wonderful day our Lord's given us to study His Word together.
Rob, I know how much you appreciate all of our listeners because we get so much encouragement from them each and every week.
I want to thank you for listening to the Invisible War program today. It is my great privilege to be able to share this time with you around the things of heaven. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal."
The teaching we're going to hear from Dr. Randall is coming from his book by the same name, Lies That Kill. And let me remind you again, this book by Dr. Randall is available at our website, theinvisiblewar.org. So be sure to get your copy today. I have no doubt that your life will be changed when you begin to live out the truths of this book called Lies That Kill. And speaking of truth, one of the very first things the enemy wants to confuse us with is the authenticity of the Bible. After all, wasn't it written by a bunch of men? So, Dr. Randall, how can it actually be the Word of God?
The last time we met on the Invisible War, we ran out of time. So we're picking up our study of the lies that kill, the supernatural battle for truth. You know, Satan is the father of lies, and the only answer for lies is the truth of God. This first lie that we deal with, the Bible can't be the Word of God, men wrote it, is without doubt the fundamental lie that most all other satanic lies are based. You see, if he can get us to question the authority and trustworthiness of Scripture, he will have taken out of our hands the sword of the Spirit in the battle against the forces of darkness. So we pick this study up. Thank you for listening. Get a pad and a pen. Get an open Bible. Open up your hearts as God begins to speak to us about the authority and reliability of the Word of Almighty God. I want to declare today that the Bible is the Word of God in its compilation and how it's been compiled. The Bible is not one book. It is 66 books. There are 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. It was written during a period of 1,600 years, extending from 1492 B.C. to A.D. 100. The 66 books were written by about 40 different authors. You know, the Bible is as much a miracle in its form as it is in its substance. There is a process of revelation in it. There is a clear line of doctrine that runs through it. The New Testament is built upon the Old Testament, and the Old Testament cannot be understood without the New Testament. The Bible is a patchwork of carefully intertwined and overlapping doctrinal and eternal truth. Yes, the Bible was written by men of different cultures, different ages, different educational backgrounds, and vastly different experiences. It is clear that the Bible gives all of mankind something far more than the writings of mere human personalities and perspectives. The Bible is the Word of God, not only in its compilation, but in its preservation. No consideration of the Bible as the Word of God would be complete without looking carefully at how God has preserved the text from its early writers to us today. And I want to declare to you today that the Bible is the Word of God in its declaration. The Bible itself claims to be the Word of God. The Old Testament writers claim to be speaking for God. The expressions, "the Lord said," "the Lord spoke saying," and "thus saith the Lord," occurs 560 times in the first five books of the Old Testament known as the Pentateuch, 300 times in the historical and prophetical books, and 1,200 times in the prophets. In all, over 2,000 times in the Old Testament, the writers claim that the words that they were to speak and write were given to them by God. The Bible is as alive and active as it was when it first came forth from God's heart. When He first spoke it to man, it is timeless in its power, for it is timeless in its essence. God spoke it, and God still speaks in it and through it. I want us to look also today at how the Bible is the Word of God in its duration. In this life, nothing stays the same. Every day, change is inevitable. Time and change are like inseparable twins. However, when all changes around us, one thing never changes, and that is the Word of God. Matthew 24, verse 35, we find these words, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." In Isaiah 40, verse 8, we find these words, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God stands forever." The testimony of history confirms over and over again that the Bible is the eternal and never-changing Word of God, as it declares for itself in Psalm 119, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled, it is established in heaven." The Word of God is forever settled. It is forever established in the courts of heaven. The testimony of the many fulfilled biblical prophecies, as well as those which are being fulfilled, give clear evidence that the Bible is in fact the Word of God. The evidence from prophecy fulfilled is just such that its careful study results in a coffin for the skeptics and their skepticism. 1,000 prophetic statements mark the pages of the Old and New Testaments. It is estimated by careful scholars that over 700 of these have been fulfilled to the very letter. History is still running in the mold of prophecy. Notice the following list of biblical prophecies and how they relate to history. These prophecies relate to the cities of Babylon in Isaiah 13, verses 19 through 22. Nineveh in Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 13. Tyre in Ezekiel 26, verse 4. Israel and Judah in Deuteronomy 28, 64 through 67. There are prophecies that relate to the nations, ancient and modern. Daniel chapter 2, verse 31 through 46. To the first and second coming of Christ. Genesis 3:15, Isaiah 9:7, Micah 5:2, Matthew 1 and Acts 1:11, and 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. To the rise, progress, and apostasies of the church, these prophecies continue to be fulfilled. Then there are the prophecies that speak to wars and rumors of wars, of false prophets and false Christs, of famines and earthquakes in Matthew 24, to the coming Antichrist in Revelation 13, to the coming Armageddon in Revelation 9, as well as Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 through 9. The remaining prophecies are, at this moment, so clearly in evidence as to cast their shadows before them. All of this is a supernatural proof of a supernatural and forever enduring Bible. The Bible was one of the first major books ever translated around 250 BC from Hebrew to Greek. It has been translated into more than 2,200 languages. In all translation, it has touched more than 90% of the world's population. The Bible has been rejected and criticized by kings, peasants, cults, other religions, fanatics, and scholars, and yet it remains one of the most trusted and reliable books ever penned. In its translation activity, no other book in history compares with the Bible. In the spring of 1996, I received an invitation by a couple of wonderful evangelist friends, Jim Ponder and Joe Atkinson, to partner with them for evangelistic meetings in the Ukraine. They had been going to the Ukraine for several years, and they wanted the Ukrainian experience for me. Allow me to put our time in the Ukraine in historical context. Kiev, the mother city of old Mother Russia, is the capital and center of Ukrainian history and life. It is a place well known for its murderous dictators like Joseph Stalin and Adolf Hitler. It is a horribly bloody place in human history. Ukrainian life has been extremely hard for nearly 100 years. Our visit to the Ukraine was just a few years after the dismantling of the Soviet Union. The newly found freedom of the people was best demonstrated in an open expression of religion, manifesting itself in these evangelistic gatherings that were being held all over the country. As a result of these meetings, evangelistic churches were springing up all around the Ukrainian landscape. Through the day, we would travel out to the countryside and to the towns and villages. We held evangelistic services primarily in the open marketplaces. Folks from all over the area would come and listen to the claims of Christ upon their lives. I was told many times that I was the first preacher of the gospel of Christ ever seen or received in many of the villages where I had the blessed opportunity to preach. In front of the hammer and sickle, many hundreds of precious Ukrainians gave their hearts to Christ. In the evenings, the team would join together at Kiev's Opera House for an evangelistic crusade. There, many on the team would sing, play our instruments, and share what Christ had done for us. My late dear friend and wonderful gifted evangelist, Jim Ponder, would stand and give God's message night after night. As he proclaimed the Word of God, folks would fill the aisles coming forward to give their lives to Christ. We soon learned that the meetings we were conducting were being broadcast live over Ukrainian television to millions of people across that great nation. These wonderful men of God with whom I partnered had printed thousands of Ukrainian Bibles. At the end of each service, we would give out those Bibles to anyone who wanted one. Forever etched in my heart and mind is that scene. Before me, a vast sea of people pressing in, hundreds of opened hands lifted upward with the hope of receiving their first Bible. You see, it had been a crime for over two generations for a person to have a Bible in the old communistic, secularistic, and atheistic state of the Soviet Union. You would have thought we were giving out $1,000 bills. With sobbing and open tears of joy, many received their first Bible. My dear friend, that's just a small example of the Bible's enduring role around the world in the lives and hearts of millions, even when those in power have tried to eradicate it from their land.
Man, I hate to break in here because we're just running out of time today. But there's going to be a lot more on this subject next time when we get together. Rob, each week it is important for us to wrap things up in prayer, and today is no different. Can you take a moment to cement all of this great teaching into our hearts and lives with a word of prayer?
What a privilege is mine today to join my heart with yours in prayer. You know, prayer is not talking, it really is listening. It's speaking those words that Holy Spirit gives us so that we can cooperate with Him. My dear friend, what I need today, what all of us need today we can't do for ourselves. Only God can cleanse our hearts. And if you're not sure you've ever been saved, as the Bible calls it, if you're not certain that you're going to heaven when you die, would you pray this prayer with me? Right where you are, words are not magic. God knows our hearts. Would you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. That's right, pray it with me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that you loved me because you died for me. I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. Give me the courage, give me the strength to follow you the rest of my days. And I ask it in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Rob. The entire teaching on this subject matter is now available in Rob's book called Lies That Kill. This powerful book will answer so many of the lies that the enemy wants to confuse us with. And Rob has done an excellent job of addressing each of these everyday common deceptions. Get your copy of this new book by Dr. Randall by going to our website at theinvisiblewar.org. I am confident that you will not only enjoy the teaching in this book, but will see your own life changed as you apply these principles in your day-to-day walk with the Lord. Pick up your copy of Lies That Kill by going to theinvisiblewar.org. You'll be glad you did. Dr. Randall, it is amazing to me at how much people take the Bible for granted. So many of our homes across our great country even have multiple copies. There's one for the coffee table, one on the bookshelves, maybe one on a nightstand, or maybe even a family Bible that has been passed down through the generations. But are they even read? Or do they just sit there collecting dust? Or maybe they're out for display just for show? Or maybe even become a paperweight for something else? Dr. Randall, we've come to the end of our program today, but we haven't come to the end of this topic. We're going to continue in this new series on Lies That Kill next time. But I'm going to ask if you could take a moment to pray with us. Pray that the Bible, God's Word, moves beyond the place it may have been put to a vital place in our hearts.
You know, it's amazing to me, Tim, how so many of us claim to believe the Bible, but we really don't know what it says. I want to challenge our listeners today. Get your Bible. Just go get it. Find a time, a quiet time, and ask the Lord to speak to you. Ask Him for a word. Ask Him to speak to your need from His Word. Open the book, and there it'll be. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you, to show you His truth that has the power to set us free, to walk in the freedom of Christ. Let's pray together. Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, I thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us to study the deep things of heaven, the wonderful eternal truths that never change. Lord, I want to thank you for the Scriptures. Yes, men wrote them, but you gave them the words to write, and you have preserved them and protected those words even to our hearts today. We are grateful. Thank you, Lord, that there is a truth that can never change. I ask you to speak to us. I ask you, Lord, for a word from you today. I ask you to give my friend that word that they are so deeply looking for. Speak to their hearts, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. We receive it as you speak to us. Thank you for this wonderful day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. I want to challenge all of our listeners today, get your Bibles, not just for today, but make it a daily exercise. Open it. Let the Lord speak to you from it. Open it. Receive it. Ask Him to speak, and He will. Make it your daily exercise to commune with Him through the written Word of God. Do it. You won't be sorry. It'll be a blessing every day when you hear from Him through His Word.
Rob, as we come to the end of the program today, why don't you share some closing thoughts with us?
This is Rob Randall. Would you allow me to share my heart concerning our freedom in Christ? Galatians 5:1 says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Here the Holy Spirit is speaking through the life and pen of the Apostle Paul to the church at Galatia. He warns them and us that it is possible for a believer to be subject, that is, to fall again to a yoke of slavery. In Colossians 1:13, we find these words to us from Holy Spirit. "For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." It is clear from Scripture that every believer has had a deliverance experience. You and I, as believers, have been delivered from the domain, the kingdom of darkness, and yes, he has transferred us to the domain, the kingdom of Christ, God's beloved Son. But all of us can make a long and painful list of even leaders within the church who have had to abandon their ministry because of habitual sin that they could not stop, that led to a life of spiritual bondage, despair, and even death. In 1 Peter 2:16, we find these words, "Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondslaves to God." Because I love you in Christ Jesus, would you allow me to challenge you to study the passages God has given to us in the 6th through the 8th chapters of Romans? Here we discover the truth concerning the life lived by the flesh and the life lived by the Spirit. Our time today will not allow us to cover all these marvelous passages, but would you allow me to share just a few of them with you? Verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." Verse 15, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Daddy, Father." Oh, dear brother and sister in Christ, freedom in Christ is your legal right. It is your legal right to walk in the eternal destiny God has for you. You can be all he wants you to be. Christ has paid the price on Calvary through his blood for you to walk in his freedom. Freedom from spiritual tyranny, freedom from fear, freedom from evil spirits, freedom from confusion, freedom from drugs and alcohol, freedom from all sexual addictions like pornography, freedom from every type and all sorts of addictions, freedom from the demonic destiny Satan has for you, freedom from everything that comes to destroy you. Why? So we can become what God created us to become. That's why he's come to set you free, and he's come today. He wants you to be free today. Why? So you and I can become all that Christ paid the price for us to become when he died on Calvary, that we might manifest his holy presence, his glory, not only in our lives, but through our lives, that we might be free to serve the living God. We in the Invisible War Radio Ministry are here to help you walk in the freedom of Christ. Please let us know how we can serve you. If you need a prayer session, call us today, 1-877-808-8886. Or you can contact us through our website, theinvisiblewar.org. That's theinvisiblewar.org. www.freedomfighters.org. I look forward to hearing from you concerning your freedom in Christ today. Remember, it was for freedom Christ came to set us free. Don't settle for anything less than the freedom bought for you by Christ when He died for you at Calvary. Be sure to join me again next week as we continue our study into the things of heaven on the Invisible War.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcast information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War. The Invisible War.